Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 184.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence any and all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Horn of Union County. We'd ask all of our members and all of our guests to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Horn.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, Father in heaven, we again gather in this house to do the people's business. It's therefore your business that we do, O Lord. We humbly ask that you grant us objectivity and sound judgment that will guide us on a clear path to that which is best for all citizens of our state. Grant that we may not stray from what is good for all in favor of what is easy for a few. Grant us unwavering loyalty to our people to be firm in the principles that we profess. Let us resolve to stand above our individual agendas and be without selfish ambition. We pray for our brave young men and women in service to our community and to our country and the cause of freedom around the world. Oh Lord, keep us far from human ambition and inspire in us a regard for justice for all. And finally, O Lord, we ask that you guide and direct us as you hold each one of us in the hollow of your hand, perhaps keeping a tighter hold on the Senate. This I pray in the name of my Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for June 16th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for June 16th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Ratification of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 562, an act to make various revisions to the expunction laws of the state. Senate Bill 719, an act to make technical changes to the statutes governing the teachers and the state employees' retirement system, and to amend the separate insurance benefit plan offerings. House Bill 307, an act to amend the motor vehicle laws of the state to regulate modified utility vehicles. House Bill 1218, an act to make adjustments to the state employer salary-related contribution and appropriated funds for the state's debt service obligations. And the following bills due to ratify, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Secretary of State. House Bill 1151, an act to clarify the appointment made by the Board of Elections to the Asheville-Buncombe Technical Community College Board of Trustees. House Bill 1157, an act abolishing the office of coroner in Avery, Bladen, Hoke, and Montgomery counties.
Chapter bills will be noted. Representatives Corbin, and Warren are recognized to send forth committee report. Corporal Reed.
Representatives Corbin and Warren, state and local government committee report. Senate Bill 286, amend fire protection fees, Union Brunswick, federal, and referred to finance.
Bills referred to Committee on Finance.
Senate Bill 380, reestablished NC Milk Commission, favorable House Committee Substitute Number 2, unfavorable House Committee Substitute Number 1, and we refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Committee Substitute Number 1 is placed on the unfavorable calendar. House Committee Substitute Number 2 is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Thank you.
Members, two bills the chair is going to withdraw from the committee, or excuse me, from the calendar today. House Bill 471, exempt direct primary care from DOI regulations. Chair directs that bill be removed from today's committee, referred to the Committee on Rules, Counter Operations of the House. Same, Mr. Clerk, members, House Bill 612, DSS Review of Procedures, Criminal History, OAH. Chair directs that bill be removed from today's calendar, referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. An appointment of conferees on Senate Bill 816, short titles Funds for Community College Enrollment Growth and CIHS Funds. Chair appoints the following members to the committee. Representative Lambeth, Representative Sane, Chair, Representatives Lambeth, Dobson, Brisson, Faircloth, Arp, McGrady, Horn, and Fraley. Senate will be so notified. Mr. Clerk, Chair is going to direct that bounce to today's session that all messages to the Senate and to the Governor be sent by a special messenger. Calendar, House Bill 679. The clerk will read.
Representatives Zachary, Rogers, and John, House Bill 679, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the rules of civil procedure to allow the electronic filing and service. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this is a request from the Rules Review Group that was setting up stuff for e-courts. It amends Rule 3 and Rule 5 to start allowing the electronic filing of complaints by attorneys and service of process back and forth, or service of things after the initial process. So I'd ask for your support.
Lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, recognized for a motion to concur. Does the lady wish to move the House concur?
I do move that we concur.
Ladies, move the House concur with Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 679. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative John, rise?
Debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this bill originally passed this body in another form, a bill sponsored by Representative Zachary Rogers and myself. However, all of us do agree with the substitution by the Senate and encourage your support of the motion. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report to, or excuse me, the motion to concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 679. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House has concurred with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 679. The bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Senate Bill 599, the clerk will read.
Senators Edwards, Wells, and Horner, Senate Bill 599, a bill to be entitled an act to authorize skating rinks and bowling alleys to resume operation and to modify the capacity of temporary outdoor seating and food and drink establishments. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 599 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 599, having passed its third reading, is ordered to return to the Senate. House Bill 1035, the clerk will read.
Representatives Horn, Fraley, and Clements, House Bill 1035, a bill to entitle an act to provide additional modifications to the 2020-2021 school calendar to address the extraordinary circumstances due to the coronavirus disease in 2019. And to extend the use of funds for school nutrition. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
And Mr. Clerk, Chair further directs the previous bill, Senate Bill 599, also be engrossed prior to its return to the Senate. For what purpose, the lady from Guilford, Representative Clemens, rise.
Thank you. To speak on the bill?
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, members. This is just a couple of adjustments to our original COVID-19 education legislation that Representatives Fraley, Horn, and I have worked on. It makes three adjustments. One is we inadvertently left out a legitimate school year-round school in Wake County, so it changes the definition to include it. We changed the date by which the school nutrition funding needed to be spent to align with the other federal funding. And there were two provisions around remote instruction that it makes adjustments to. One required in-district instruction for the first 5 days of school. We know now that some of our families and some of our districts may need more flexibility, and so it allows them to use remote instruction for those 5 days. We also only allowed 5 days of remote instruction. And again, we know some of our families and children may need some other alternatives as we go into the fall. And so it lifts that 5 day limit. I'd be happy to answer any questions and hope you'll support this. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1035 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Clerk, pursuant to House rules, we'd like to enter the following proxy votes, and they're all aye votes. Mr. Clerk, Adcock, Alexander, Autry, Beasley, Belk, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Cunningham, Everett, Farmer Butterfield, Fisher, Floyd, Galliard, Garrison, Graham, Insko, Lucas, Martin, Queen, Raymond Smith, Terry, Von Hafen, and Willingham.
Thank you. Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to act accordingly and pursuant to House Rule 12I. I have directly communicated with them during the voting process. Representative Ted Davis, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk Clock Machine, record the vote. 118 having voted in the affirmative and none of the negative. House Bill 1035 passed a second reading. Will without objection be read a third time?
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 1035 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 1035, having passed its third reading, is ordered sent to the Senate. House Bill 1052, the clerk will read.
Representatives Horn, Lucas, Fraley, and Clemens. House Bill 1052, a bill to be entitled, an act to make necessary improvements to ensure state funds for post-secondary educational financial aid programs to fully extend to the gauge the effectiveness of those programs. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a program evaluation bill. It resulted from a report entitled Improvements Needed to Gauge Effectiveness and expand state funds and expend state funds available for post-secondary financial aid. The bill requires the State Education Assistance Agency to create and maintain data for multiple state-funded loan programs such as teaching fellows, and requires that they develop a strategic plan that includes performance measures, and finally, or not finally, it also standardizes how the amount that SEAA receives for administrating it at 1.5% like we do with everything else that they do. And finally, Section 4 directs the Office of State Management and Budget to provide recommendations to improve transparency. This bill has been heard in two committees, passed unanimously. I ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 1052 on second reading. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 1052, having passed second reading, will without objection be read a third time.
General Senator Norcline and Act.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 1052 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 1052, having passed third reading, order sent to the Senate. House Bill 1082, the clerk will read.
Representatives Hurley and Lucas, House Bill 1082. A bill to be entitled ABC Administrative Penalties, Alcohol Consumptibles.
Lady from Randolph, Representative Hurley, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen. This bill started out as just a study that had come from the Program Evaluation Division, and it is to have the ABC Control Commission to create a policy that establishes a rationale for administration penalties and improves transparency for committees on what they need to do when there is a violation or something that happens that they don't abide by the law. And so this will help them to let us know exactly why they made the decisions to either waive it or suspend the time for the permittee or to charge them a fee. So this will explain it and get them to be more transparent in what they are doing and why they are doing. They were not following going along with everything that they should have been. And the other part of the bill I think is very, very important, and Representative Bowles brought it to my attention and wanted to put it in this bill, and I think it is very important because hopefully it will help stop underage consumption of alcohol. And at this time, if the speaker, if you will ask Representative Bowles, he will present the rest of the bill. And I ask for your positive vote. Thank you very much.
Gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's come to the attention of General Assembly that these products, such as Jell-O, ice cream, are containing alcohol, and they're being sold in grocery stores and convenience stores. Presently, they are not regulated by the Department of Agriculture. They're not regulated by the ABC Commission. Some of these products contain higher alcohol content than a can of beer. So when it's scanned, it's picked up, and it's scanned, it's also not being registered as a product that has to show ID. So what we're putting regulations in under the ABC Commission is that they have to fall within their preview regulations. And we're asking you to approve this so that we can cut down on the possibility of underage drinking, and that these products are regulated and taxed accordingly like every other alcohol product in the state. And I commend the bill and thank Representative Hurley for allowing me to join her bill as well. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 1082 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 1082, having passed second reading, will without objection be read a third time.
General Senator of North Carolina, and that.
Question for the House, passage of House Bill 1082 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 1082, having passed its third reading, is ordered sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 750, Corporal Reed.
Senator Steinberg, Senate Bill 750, A bill to be entitled an act to provide funding for capital projects at Elizabeth State University, General City of North Carolina.
Chairman from Currituck, Representative Haney, recognize the debate bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. ECU is requesting money to replace HVA systems and associated equipment. The university needs this funding because the current equipment has extended beyond its capacity, and many of the independent HVA systems are failing and are long overdue. The repairs are. Elizabeth City State has received much attention for its flight program, resulting in projects and ongoing initiatives that involve branches of the military, the government, members of Congress, and DOT. These programs will be in great peril without these much needed and long overdue repairs. I urge you to support one of the rising stars in the Northeast. ECU enrollment has grown over the last few years, and this year is expected to be near record attendance. And, Mr. Speaker, if I may, there is an amendment to the bill, if we could recognize Representative Torbett.
Gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, recognizes the debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank my colleague, Representative Hannock, and the House, as well as Senator Steinberg, for moving on this absolutely critical infrastructure project for Elizabeth City State University. Not only, as my colleague mentioned, have we really moved forward with helping the university over the last few years, all of that can come crumbling down if it doesn't have the basic needs for its students to make sure that you can heat, cool, and provide necessary resources for those students. So I ask everyone, as someone who had the opportunity to attend the Great Elizabeth City State University, to support this bill and support the infrastructure. Thank you.
Representative Haney, the chair is not in possession of an amendment.
It's coming.
Is there an amendment? Is there an amendment forthcoming?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Chair is going to displace the bill.
Senate Bill 805, the Corporal Reed.
Senators Brown, Harrington, and Jackson, Senate Bill 805, a bill to be entitled an act to appropriate funds from the Coronavirus Relief Fund to use the offset general and appropriations across the government for allowable expenditures. General Senator North Carolina.
The gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. This bill went through the Appropriations Committee with great support. We all know the situation we are in economically, not only in the General Assembly and the operating funds, but across North Carolina. We were fortunate to receive money from the feds that would help cover many of our needed services and costs. As we've gone through those federal funds, there is flexibility to allow us to use some of those to cover some of the costs of state operations. And that's what this bill does. It utilizes $645 million of the COVID-19 federal funds to cover state operations. And you'll see in Section 2 and 4 the guidance to use those funds for services such as public safety, public health, healthcare, human services, and similar areas. This enables us to continue to operate these in a very efficient way, and I recommend this bill for your approval.
Representative Jackson, I believe the gentleman is wanting to be recognized for an amendment, right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So yes, sir. The chair is in possession of the amendment. The amendment does amend the title to the bill and adds things that go beyond the scope of the bill. So the chair would rule that the amendment is out of order, but if the gentleman wants to send it forward formally, the chair will accept it and then rule it's out of order, but it does go beyond the scope of the bill and it does appropriate, I believe, additional funds. Gentleman, would you care to be heard?
I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I move to withdraw Senate Bill 805, Coronavirus Relief Funds Create Offsets, from today's calendar and re-refer it to the Appropriations Committee pursuant to our rules in Section 620 of Masons, with instructions to the Appropriations Committee to amend the workers' compensation law to create a rebuttable presumption that employees who are infected with the coronavirus contracted the disease in the course of employment, and that the committee further require that local government employers credit first responders and healthcare workers for leave taken while quarantined, and that the committee appropriate funds from the Coronavirus Relief Reserve to the Industrial Commission to settle employee workers' compensation claims related to this coronavirus pandemic. And if I could speak on the motion, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, on this past Monday, Governor Cooper declared Monday our Health Care Heroes Day. And like you, throughout this COVID-19 crisis, I've seen all kinds of television commercials on TV and things that when I'm out and about saying thank you to all of those frontline workers who have kept working throughout this pandemic or epidemic to keep us all as safe as possible. My wife enjoyed a free meal from McDonald's every day for about a week, I think it was. She stopped every morning and got a biscuit and a drink at her work. They put up a wall of pictures and cards from all kinds of people who have sent thank yous. But what we haven't done yet is protect those workers and their families if they get sick. This bill, my motion is based on House Bill 1057, which originally had almost majority support from the folks in this chamber. It would create a rebuttable presumption that if someone got the COVID-19 virus during this epidemic, that it would be presumed that it was from work. We got a lot of pushback from that, from the business community. The Chamber of Commerce came out pretty strongly against it. The Hospital Association came out against it. I'm not exactly sure. Basically, every business that had people that had to work during the epidemic came out against the bill. 14 states have taken this action. Some have limited it to first responders, some for what they different states have classified as essential workers. Some have done it for all workers, and some have even done it by executive order. This, though, what I did is I listened, and nobody told me that, hey, we don't need to take care of these people or their families. What they said was, is our insurance rates don't have this in it, or our municipal budgets are being squeezed, we can't afford it. And so I remembered when we were talking about Viper and how we were funding Viper out of the federal funds, and the statement was made that we were going to have a hard time spending on this federal money we had. And so I thought to myself, well, what's a way to fix that? And I remembered the 9/11 fund that was created after 9/11 to take care of all the first responders there. And so what I did is I asked staff to take 1057 and then fund it totally with federal money so that no business, no municipality, no hospital, no doctor's office, or anybody would be on the hook for any of the workers' comp claims as a result of COVID. It would just be out of federal money. This will protect the workers and their families while not passing along the cost to the business and the owners. A lot of people have said in the last couple of months, thank you to our first responders and healthcare workers. To me, actions speak louder than words. I'd ask you to support this motion.
I for what purpose, gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson Rice.
To debate the motion. The
gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, members, I introduced a very similar bill earlier in this emergency session. Mark Twain said it's never wrong to do the right thing. This isn't politics. This is trying to do the right thing. I've talked to several of you on the other side of the aisle in private. You all think it's a great idea. Let's do the right thing and support these folks. This disease, when it attacks their lungs, and it attacks them permanently. Even when they survive, it attacks them permanently. It disables folks. And these folks put it on the line every day. Having this rebuttable presumption and having this ability to cover in workers' comp is what workers' comp is all about. This is a tricky disease, and these folks are on the line every day. This is the right thing to do. I would ask all of you to get behind this and support it. Thank you.
Members, a point the chair will make. The motion simply at this point is to withdraw the bill and refer the bill to a committee. The chair has given some latitude, but the amendment was out of order. So the chair would ask the members to not try to use a procedural motion, to debate an amendment that is not properly before the body. The vote that is here is not whether members agree with or do not agree with the what it is, the maker of the motion has said he would like to see happen in committee. The vote on this is whether the bill gets removed from today's calendar and sent back to committee. So that is the question before the body. For what purpose, gentlemen from Wake, Representative Jackson Rice.
Mr. Speaker, if the motion passes, it does in fact pass with instructions. Is that not correct?
The gentleman's motion is a simple procedural motion. I frankly respect the and I'm impressed with the gentleman's drafting of the motion. It was a court order. We'd call it dicta. It's just extra stuff in there. But in the end, it's still just a procedural motion. And so, notwithstanding that, and the chair tried to give wide latitude. It is still just a procedural motion to remove a bill from the calendar, because there's no guarantee once the bill went to the committee what a committee would do. This body cannot bind what that committee does. If this motion passed, it would not require that committee to do that, nor would it require that committee to even report that bill out. So, anything further?
Mr. Speaker, if I could, I guess to speak a second time.
Go ahead.
I believe this is a common procedure that the minority uses in the U.S. House. I actually learned of this motion first in watching the Republicans when they were first in the minority in the U.S. House. I believe that this is proper under Mason's, under Rule 620, and we actually have a precedent in this House for this type of motion. So it is I understand the Speaker's argument that this is a motion to re-refer the bill simply, but you are in fact in voting on whether or not you want to refer this bill to appropriations with the instructions for them to create this fund. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? Not. The question before the House is the motion to withdraw Senate Bill 805 from the committee and re-refer to the Appropriations Committee. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Noes have it. And the motion having failed, we are down the bill. Senate Bill 805, further discussion, further debate? If not, question before the House. Passage of Senate Bill. We have an additional amendment. Representative Hunt, recognize the Fourth Amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Hunt moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 4, by deleting expenditures and substituting.
Again, Representative Hunt, to be fair to the previous maker of an amendment, this amendment, too, goes beyond the scope of the bill. And for those who wonder what is considered germane or not germane to a bill, one good hint is the fact that the title of the bill has to be amended to add additional material. So would refer the member to the first few lines that it does add additional matters to the bill in that case. So the chair rules the amendment out of order. The lady wishes to be heard.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just will not take the body's time to say the same things that were just said by our leader. I just want to make the point that our frontline workers really need some of this COVID-19 money, and they deserve it. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Further discussion, further debate on the bill? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 805 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to act accordingly and pursuant to House Rule 12I. I've directly communicated with them during the voting process. Representative Ted Davis, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to House rules, the following members would like to be recorded as voting on this bill via proxy and will record aye votes. Mr. Clerk, Representative Adcock, Alexander, Autry, Beasley, Belk, Brockman, Butner, Carney, Cunningham, Everett, former Butterfield, Fisher, Floyd, Gallier, Garrison, Graham, Insko, Lucas, Martin, Queen, Raymond Smith, Terry, Von Hafen, and Willingham.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 119 having voted in the affirmative and none of the negative. Senate Bill 805 having passed it, has passed its second reading and will without objection, having been objected to, remains on the counter. Representative Jackson. Senate Bill 818. Clerk will read.
Senators Brown, Harrington, and Jackson, Senate Bill 818, a bill to be entitled an act to provide for the compensation of certain public school employees. General Assembly of North Carolina Act.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, we all certainly recall the budget battle and the result from last year. It's my opinion that not having an enacted budget has been devastating to education in this state. Not only has it caused havoc among all levels of education, it's left our hardworking teachers with no pay raise at all. We need to fix that to the best of our ability. Unfortunately, as you've already heard, our ability to fix things is now further constrained by the dire facts of a near $5 billion shortfall in projected revenues. But we still got to do what we can do. So what can we do? Senate Bill 818 provides funding for our teachers, instructional support personnel, and assistant principals with their well-deserved step raises. Provides across-the-board bonuses of $350 for teachers and instructional support personnel. It encourages the governor to provide an additional $600 bonus for teachers, instructional personnel, and non-certified personnel. So Senate Bill 818 holds harmless principal salaries and bonuses for 2021 fiscal year and allows salary adjustments based on ADM. It allows for assistant principal salaries to also be held harmless. And it allows for employees of schools operated by state agencies are held harmless, and they too will receive their step increases. We will continue to advocate for greater flexibility in the use of federal funds
and will closely monitor our fiscal position to be ready to further make adjustments and additions. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge your support so our teachers don't go away empty-handed. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bill Rice.
For a motion.
The gentleman is recognized for motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the previous question.
Representative Bell has moved the previous question.
Second.
To Senate Bill 818. Those in favor of the previous question motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Corbin wished to vote. Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader is recognized to announce the proxy votes of Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to act accordingly and pursuant to House Rule 12I. I have directly communicated with them during the voting process. Representative Ted Davis, aye.
Gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to record the following proxy votes on the gentleman's motion for the previous question. Adcock, no. Alexander, no. Autry, no. Beasley, no. Belk, no. Brockman, no. Butler, no. Carney, no. Cunningham, no. Everett, no. Farmer Butterfield, no. Fisher, no. Floyd, aye. Galliard, no. Garrison, no. Graham, no. Insko, no. Lucas, no. Martin, no. Queen, no. Raymond Smith, no. Terry, no. Von Hafen, no. Willingham, no.
Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 66 having voted in the affirmative and 53 in the negative. The previous question is adopted. We are now on the vote pursuant to the rules. Representative Jackson, gentlemen, desire 3 minutes.
I yield my time to Representative Hunt.
All right, Representative Hunt, the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Hunt is recognized to speak up to 3 minutes on the matter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am disappointed to not be able to have given up my amendment. I think you would have all agreed that our non-certified staff, our cafeteria workers, our bus drivers, our custodians, and our teacher assistants desperately need a $1,000 bonus that they would have gotten with my amendment. I also know you would have agreed that our teachers need more than $300. I would have added $900 to their bonuses to equal $1,250. I now yield the remaining of the time to Representative Candy Smith.
I believe the court heard that the lady wanted to try. The member cannot yield any additional time, so the...
I apologize.
That's okay. That's all right. I believe the majority leader was going to yield his 3 minutes to Representative Elmore.
To Representative Elmore. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, is recognized to speak up to 3 minutes on the matter.
Sometimes you have to make decisions on the point in time that you're at. This is one of those decisions. I think that this bill is a good bill for where we are at during a pandemic, considering the financial situation that we're in. Without this bill, the pay raises would be frozen. And when I say pay raises, I'm talking about just normal steps that the employee is expecting in the upcoming year. We have been down that path before, and it is not fun for the employees. As a matter of fact, too, the more that you take that habit, the problem builds and builds and builds to where it is very hard to get the scale adjusted back. So this will prevent that. Also, it is giving a bonus, a one-time bonus, to our teachers and our non-instructional staff of the $350. But it gives a charge to our governor. Of all of the money that we got from the federal government for COVID response, the pot of money that has the most flexibility is Governor Cooper's at $95 million. This makes a recommendation to him to say, hey, we're putting this forth on a bonus. Why don't you match us to give higher bonuses for the folks? That pot of money has the most flexibility. He has the power to do that. He also has the power to give the non-certified staff a bonus, too. When we sent the money down to the school systems, the feds did, and it went through our went through the procedures. Many of them gave their employees hazard pay during this time period. So on that piece, it is in the hands of the governor, and he is able to use that money to meet this need. So again, you've sometimes got to make decisions on where you're at at a point in time. And as crazy as 2020 has been, from COVID and an asteroid passing the Earth and all of this stuff that's been going on, it seems like something new every day. We're at a particular point in time. This is a good decision at this point in time, and I urge you to support the bill.
The question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 818 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader, is recognized to announce the Republican proxy votes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to act accordingly and pursuant to House Rule 12I. I have directly communicated with them during the voting process. Representative Ted Davis, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the Democratic proxy votes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant to House rules, the following members wish to vote by proxy. Representative Adcock, no. Representative Alexander, no. Representative Autry, no. Representative Beasley, no. Representative Belk, no. Representative Brockman, no. Representative Butler, no. Representative Cunningham, no.
Representative Everett, yes. Representative Farmer Butterfield, no. Representative Fisher, no. Representative Floyd, no. Representative Galliard, no. Representative Garrison, no. Representative Graham, aye. Representative Insko, no. Representative Lucas, no. Representative Martin, no. Representative Queen, aye. Representative Raymond Smith, no. Representative Terry, no. Representative Von Hafen, no. Representative Willingham, no.
Representative Jackson, did the gentleman announce Representative Carney's vote?
Representative Carney's a no, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 84 having voted in the affirmative, 35 of the negative. Senate Bill 818 passes second reading. Will without objection be read a third time.
Senate Bill not climbing in there.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise?
For a motion.
Gentleman may state his motion.
I move the previous question.
Gentleman has moved the previous question on Senate Bill 818 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed,
no.
Yes. If you chair, does the member truly want division on this one?
Yep.
Division haven't been called. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed to the motion will vote no. Clerk, open the vote. Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to act accordingly and pursuant to House Rule 12I. I have directly communicated with them during the voting process. Representative Ted Davis, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, the House Minority Leader has announced the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to House rules, we'd like to announce the following proxy votes. I don't know if it'll be easier to tell the clerk this way. We have one aye vote. Representative Floyd would vote aye. And then the following members would vote no. Representative Adcock, Alexander, Autry, Beasley, Belk, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Cunningham, Everett, Farmer Butterfield, Fisher, Floyd, Galliard, Garrison, Graham, Insko, Lucas, Martin, Queen, Raymond Smith, Terry, Von Hafen, and Willingham.
And I believe the gentleman said Floyd was an aye, correct? The clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 67 having voted in the affirmative, 52 in the negative. The previous question has been adopted. Gentleman wish 3 minutes.
Yes, sir. I'd like to yield my time to a representative from Pitt County, Candy Smith.
Representative Smith is recognized to speak up to 3 minutes on the matter.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. I find this very amazing that we have spent so much time trying to take the power of the governor away, convoluting bills when we could have really been helping businesses to try to reopen. But yet today, we turn around and make an argument that we should give the governor the power to take care of our employees. I was not elected to do that. I was elected to be a legislator. My job is to make sure that we are taking care of the people of North Carolina. And I prayed that I was here with people with the same mind. We look at this pandemic that happened. It was very unfortunate, but we had people who were on the front lines working without ceasing, risking their life, possibly contracting COVID themselves. But yet we want to look over them and say, hey, maybe somebody else will take care of you. But then earlier when we asked for a bill to be placed in another committee and we asked could we refer what they would do with that bill, we can't do that. But now we want to tell the governor what to do instead of us taking responsibility ourselves. Our non-certified teachers and staff, those cafeteria workers, those bus drivers, they're taking care of your kids. They're taking care of my kids, all of our kids, our families. And they're doing that without hesitation. But yet they elected us to be in the position to do what we're supposed to do, and we are hesitating. That is an issue. That is very disappointing that we could not, across the board, make sure that our non-certified staff were taken care of as well. I would hate to think that I would be in that position and to have someone who I elected to take care of me act as if they do not care. And then we say, God bless America. That is very disappointing. Sorry I wasn't able to get my amendment across, but my voice will never be silenced. We must make sure that we are fighting for the people. Thank you.
Representative Bell, did the gentleman wish to yield his time to Representative Elmore, the 3 minutes?
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, recognized to speak up to 3 minutes.
As I said before, the conditions have not changed. We are empowering the governor in this. The federal money that came down, it has the most flexibility. He has $95 million that is sitting in a pot. Because of choices made of another branch, this is the way government works. We pass bills to move to him. He's part of the decision-making process. He has an opportunity to make a decision with this. Considering the financial situation, because decisions that he's made dealing with the pandemic has created an economic situation where we're at the time and place that we're at. May that be good, may that be bad, but there's the revenues for the state are not what they were, and they're not going to be. Again, the decision is on the time and place that we're at now, and this is a balance of government. The governor is empowered to do this, just like he's empowered to veto common sense legislation that comes out of here. That's the balance of government. So we are doing our job as legislators. You've got an opportunity to do your job right now with making a decision for this point in time of making sure that our raises are not frozen. The last governors that did that, Bev Perdue did it. She had to freeze. Governor Hunt did it. He had to freeze. Do we want to go down that path? It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. So you can do your job as a legislator right now and make that vote. And then we put it in the other branch's hands to see how he wants to handle it. Hopefully he won't veto it. But he might keep the pattern up of a veto. I'm not sure, because that is what government is about. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 818 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it. Senate Bill 818, having passed its third reading, is ordered returned to the Senate. Actually, strike that. It's ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Members, the chair is going to direct that Senate Bill 750 be removed from today's calendar and re-referred to the Committee on Rules Calendar and Operations of the House. The reason for that is it has an amendment that is not germane to the bill. So the amendment, the bill will be sent to committee. House Bill 511, Corker Reed.
Representative Grange, House Bill 511, Congressman Shafort, North Carolina First Step Act, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from New Hanover, Representative Grange, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House do adopt the conference report for House Bill 511.
Ladies, move the House adopt the conference report for House Bill 511. The lady has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this bill is known as the North Carolina First Step Act. It essentially does three things. It grants judicial discretion from the mandatory minimum sentences for narrowly defined nonviolent drug trafficking offenses. It also allows a person who is sentenced solely for trafficking or conspiracy to commit trafficking to file a motion for appropriate relief to have their sentence modified. And finally, the bill authorizes the Department of Information Technology to study the collection of criminal justice data. There's no known opposition to this bill, and the bill passed unanimously in the Senate.
Further discussion, further debate on the motion. If not, the question before the House is the adoption of the conference report to House Bill 511. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant to House rules, we'd like to enter the following members' votes by proxy. Mr. Clerk, these will all be aye votes. Representative Adcock, Alexander, Autry, Beasley, Belk, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Cunningham, Everett, Farmer Butterfield, Fisher, Floyd, Galliard, Garrison, Graham, Insko, Lucas, Martin, Queen, Raymond Smith, Terry, Von Hafen, and Willingham.
Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader, is recognized to announce the vote, the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to act accordingly and pursuant to rule, House Rule 12I, I have directly communicated with them during the voting process. Representative Ted Davis, aye.
Representative McNeil, does the gentleman wish to record on the vote? The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 119, having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to House Bill 511. The bill was ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Representative Howard, could the lady approach, please? Members, we're going about to get notices announcements, but the chair would ask the body. Today's adjournment will be in honor and memory of former Representative Charlotte Gardner of Rowan County, who passed this week. And so when we come to that point, the chair would ask that the body show proper decorum at the time of that motion. I know it can get kind of loud at the very end with folks going ahead and heading out the door at that point. It does appear, though, that we have concluded our calendar. And chair's aware that there are some committee meetings following session. So with that, we'll now go to notices and announcements. For what purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, the Appropriations Committee will meet at 5 o'clock in our usual meeting room, 643. We have three bills. It shouldn't be too long. If you'll be on time, we'll try to get started on time.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Mr. Speaker, members, 3 years ago today, I was sitting in Goodson Chapel on the campus of Duke University where I was working towards my Master's of Divinity. And on that evening, we were having a special service in the chapel because of what had taken place on that same day. On that night, nine individuals at Mother Emanuel in Charleston, South Carolina was killed by Dylan Roof. One of those, a member of the South Carolina legislature, and one of them a sister of one of the members at the time, former Senator Malcolm Graham, was among the nine that were killed. Today I bring that up in this moment, one that we might pause and remember what happened 3 years ago on that evening, but also for us to continue to weave together in our hearts and our minds what is and has been a part of the fabric of our community, our society, and this nation. That what we see today continue to be expressed across this country and the world is not simply based upon what happened a couple months ago with the death of George Floyd, but it is something that continues to be ingrained, that harps at the hearts and minds of people of color, where we have seen the harsh realities of lives lost due to nothing but hate. And it is something in my heart in this moment that I believe that as members with power who sit in this room each and every day, that my heart really hopes that we move to a moment in which we as members in this legislature understand our responsibility. And today, if never and no other reason and no other moment, that we're intentional about some dialogue and conversations, that we do some things that we don't normally do, that you talk to somebody that you don't normally have a conversation with. Because the fact is what I've discovered in legislating and making policy is that the best policy is made out of righteous debate and discussion. When you hear a viewpoint of somebody that's different than yours, when you sit at a table and not only attempt to be heard, but attempt to listen. And that is what I believe will help us to move forward in our communities, in this chamber, to make policy that makes us better. And I'll say, as a young person, I tend to be a little bit emotional in this sense, because as a 32-year-old, excuse me, 31-year-old, it'd be 32 in September, I've had to watch television and to see moments like this happen over and over and over and over again. And there's two things that I sit on my desk, and I've said it before. One, a picture of my niece, and the second is this book from former U.S. Representative George Henry White, who was the last African-American to serve in the U.S. Congress. And these are the words that he left to the Speaker of the United States House when he was the last African-American to leave. He said, "Mr. Speaker, my plea is not for special privileges for my people, but what we want and have a right to expect is all the privileges of an American citizen. We will not be content with nothing less. An even chance in the race of life is all that we ask. And in the end, if we cannot reach that goal, let the devil take the hindmost one."
For what purpose does the gentleman from Watauga, Representative Russell, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A point of personal privilege.
The gentleman's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
I just would wish that all of you will help me wish my wife a happy 42nd anniversary today. Thank you.
Congratulations. What purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I don't know if my parents are watching, but today's my dad's birthday. My mom recently had her birthday, and they recently celebrated their 52nd wedding anniversary. So, Mom and Dad, congratulations.
Congratulations. Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warner recognized in fourth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren, Finance Committee report. Senate Bill 201, Town of Bolton, de-annexation. Favor House Committee substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee substitute, and we refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee substitute is placed on the unfavorable counter. The House Committee substitute. Chair's going to rule that that bill is material, and that bill is going to be referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Any further notices or announcements? If not, gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Thursday, June 18th at 11 o'clock a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1 and in honor and memory of former Representative Charlotte Gardner of Rowan County.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Warren, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, June 18th at 11 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1 and in honor and memory of former Representative Charlotte Gardner of Rowan County. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.
On motion of the Speaker, the following conferee is appointed to Senate Bill 816, Funds for Community College Enrollment Growth, CIHS Funds, and that is Representative Clemens. The Senate will be notified. Representative Brody, Riddell, and Yarborough recognize to send forth the Regulatory Reform Committee report. Senate Bill 374, repeal risky retirement plans, favorable House Committee substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee substitute, and re-refer Senate Committee substitute placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 374 will be referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representative Howard Setzer, Zoka, Conrad, Ross, and Warner recognize to send forth the Finance Committee report. House Bill 1113, expand local option sales tax for education, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred. Original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 1113 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House. House Bill 1080, revenue law recommendations, favorable committee substitute number 2, unfavorable committee substitute number 1. And re-referred. Committee substitute number 1 will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute number 2 for House Bill 1080 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House. The chair rules that House Bill 1080 is material constituting first reading. On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 155, short title, assess costs of local LEO crime lab analysis. That bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House, recommitted to the Committee on Appropriations, still referral to the Committee on Rules is added. Representative Lambeth Stain, Art Briston, Dobson, Faircloth, and McGrady recognize and send forth the Appropriations Committee report. House Bill 1070, emergency grants for certain milk producers, favorable and re-referred. House Bill 1070 be re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House.
Agreed.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 818, an act to provide for the compensation of certain public school employees. House Bill 511, an act to increase judicial discretion in sentencing for drug trafficking offenses. And House Bill 679, an act to amend the rules of civil procedure to allow for electronic filing and service.
Chapter bills will be noted.
Special messages from the Senate. The following special messages received from the Senate. House Bill 1229, Senate Committee Substitute, 4th edition, a bill to be entitled an act appropriating funds to the Division of Employment Security to strengthen unemployment insurance program integrity during the coronavirus pandemic and preventing certain payments to precinct officials from reducing unemployment benefits, insurance benefits for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute. The Senate Committee Substitute is ruled material, constituting its first reading, and the bill will be placed on the calendar pursuant to Rule 36B for June 18th for a concurrence vote on second roll call reading. Further special messages from the Senate. The following special message received from the Senate. Senate Bill 808, Committee Substitute, 3rd Edition, a bill to be entitled an act appropriating funds for the Dorothea Dix Campus Relocation Project and for the child welfare case management component of North Carolina Families Accessing Services Through Technology and CFAST, appropriating coronavirus relief funds for behavioral health and crisis services, appropriating funds for the operation of the North Carolina Medicaid program and the implementation of Medicaid transformation and making Medicaid transformation related changes. This bill is read at first time, Senate Bill 808, and referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, Operations of the House. Chair rules that Senate Bill 808, Medicaid Funding Act, is ruled material, thus constituting first reading. Representative Lambeth Sain, Art Briston, Dobson, Faircloth, and McGrady are recognized to send forth an Appropriations Committee report. House Bill 1105, COVID Supplementary Great Grant Period. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee sub for House Bill 1105. Re-referred to rules. House Bill 1205, expedite state leasing broadband. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar. Whereas committee substitute, House Bill 1205, re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. House Bill 1201, Local Meat Processors Grants and Marketing Funds, favorable committee 7 number 2, unfavorable committee 7 number 1, and re-referred committee 7 number 1, placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute number 2 for House Bill 1201, re-referred to the Committee on Rules. Representative Lewis is recognized to send forth rules counter and operations of the House Committee Report. House Bill 1080, Revenue Laws Recommendation, favorable, counter 36B for 618. House Bill 1113, Local Option Sales Tax School Construction, favorable. House Bill 1113, counter 36B for the 18th. And Senate Bill 201, Bolton-Dunn, Jacksonville Boundaries, favorable. And Senate Bill 201 shall be counted pursuant to Rule 36B for the 18th. So ordered. Representative Lambeth, Zane, Arp, Brisson, Dobson, Faircloth, and McGrady are recognized to send forth an Appropriations Committee report. House Bill 1225, Education and Transportation Bond Act of 2020. Favorable committee substitute unfavorable original bill and re-referred. Original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 1225 will be re-referred to finance. The zero referral to rules is stricken before that referral to finance. Representative Lewis is recognized to send forth the Rules Counter and Operations of the House Committee Report. Senate Bill 750, Capital Projects, Elizabeth City State University, favorable House Committee Substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute. Senate Committee Substitute placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 750 will be counted pursuant to Rule 36B for the 18th. Senate Bill 796, Harbor Master Fairfield Harbor, favorable House Committee Substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute. Senate Committee Substitute placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 796, calendar 36B for the 18th. And Senate Bill 374, Regulatory Reform Act of 2020, favorable House Committee Substitute number 2, unfavorable House Committee Substitute number 1, House Committee Substitute number 1, placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee Substitute number 2 for Senate Bill 374, calendar pursuant to Rule 36B for the 18th of June.